Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to our Thursday morning live streaming broadcast here at the Ohio State University South Center's TV and radio studio. Our studio is part of the OSU RIO educational programming that we have here at Ohio State University South Center's every Thursday morning. On Wednesdays in the afternoon, we also have a number of different TV and radio programs that we work in collaboration with Ohio State University and the University of Rio Grande. You know, our goal is simple, to provide broadcast educational programs on a collaborative basis. And what a collaboration basically means is we get as many individuals involved as possible, because in our communities, there are many different entities that help to make that community healthy. We broadcast in Southern Ohio to the state of Ohio on a regional basis and on a global basis. I'm Patrick Dengel, moderator today, along with our summer staff, which includes Marcia Amlin, Beth Rigsby, Kimberly Roush, and Dwayne Rigsby. Our counterparts at the University of Rio Grande include Mike Thompson. He's the director of the Instructional Design and Media Services, and Jason Winters, who's the chair of the Emerson E. Evans College of Business at the both with the University of Rio Grande and Rio Grande Community College. Our educational programs are meant to provide information to owners and staff with small businesses, those in the agricultural or aquacultural fields and working with the soil and water conservation, the bioengineering, and different programs that support a healthy community living. Today, it's my pleasure to have two great guests that will give an overview of how some of the programs really truly affect communities. Our first guest will be Brenna Butler. She's the corporate communications with the Ohio Valley Bank, OVBC, and what she's going to talk about is community involvement and some of the scholarship programs that they offer to students attending school. We will also be talking with Anna Scott. She's the program director with the Ohio Cooperative Development Center that has had a long history involved with Ohio State University South Centers and with many of the different communities throughout the state of Ohio and West Virginia. So it's my pleasure to first bring on Brenna Butler. Brenna Butler, again, is the corporate communications person with the Ohio Valley Bank. Brenna, welcome.
Thank you, Pat, for having me.
Well, I really appreciate our involvement. You know, when I was growing up, and this was before the turn of the century, or maybe way before the turn of the century, the community banks that I grew up with were more privately owned. For instance, I grew up in Coshocton, and the community banks there, most all of them were affiliated with growing up in the communities. And then as I got older, many of the banks decided to merge and become much larger. But Ohio Valley Bank has been one of those banks that has really stayed focused to the community. Am I not correct?
You are correct, Pat. Ohio Valley Bank was established in 1872, so we have more than a century of experience in the community. We've always had the same name, but the community has been something that's been very important to us. In fact, in our strategic planning, our mission is community first, and you'll see around here a lot of times whenever there's a decision, it's always considered how it will affect the community. It's something we're very proud of.
Yeah, well, you should be. You know, we have a number of different guests that work. You have over 200 employees at your bank, correct?
Correct. We're just over 260. We're growing and growing.
But the neat thing is that you're really located in about four counties. Is that correct?
Actually, a few more. We were located in Ohio, in Gallia, Jackson, Pike, and Meigs counties in Athens County. We actually opened a loan production office in Athens just last December. And then in West Virginia, we have offices in Cabell County and in Mason County, West Virginia.
And the nice thing is that the emphasis tends to be on, even though you're expanded in those many different counties, to be community-minded and be community-involved. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. We have some outstanding managers and bankers in those offices that live locally, and they're ready to serve their friends and neighbors that are there. Part of our community first mission is that we want to do more than just handing over a check. So we have a couple of programs in place that allow us to do that. One of our most popular in the community, at least, is something we call Impact Days at the bank. And that's where Ohio Valley Bank pays its employees. You can receive up to 3 paid days off a year to do community service, something in your community, whether that's helping with the Special Olympics that happens to be held locally, or just walking a dog at the local dog shelter, or going in and helping clean a Ronald McDonald house. Our bankers have done all kinds of things, even built houses with Habitat for Humanity using those days off. And a lot of times you'll see us kind of in large groups doing that kind of thing. We have what we call community first movements in all of our counties, where our local bankers there really take the reins and try to do things to improve on the community, whether it's community service or focusing on buying local to help support those local businesses.
You know, one of the areas that I have become very familiar with has been your internships with the number of the students throughout the years at the University of Rio Grande, being involved in the College of Business, whether it was the MBA program or the business. And I know that there's been a number of students that have taken an opportunity to be involved in the internship programs. I think that's so important.
And I do too. I'm actually a product of that. I was a student at the University of Rio Grande in mass communications and did my internship at Ohio Valley Bank and stayed here after.
Ah, very good. And since you're have been involved with Ohio Valley Bank, you've enjoyed a number of years really promoting the bank and promoting the financial kinds of things. It's my understanding that Ohio Valley Bank has gotten into a scholarship program that really helps students, and it's just not geared towards undergraduate students. Is that correct?
You are correct. One of the most unique programs we have, certainly one that's a passion of mine, is the OVB 4-H Scholarship Program. And that was developed in 1986. What happened was the then extension agent, Fred Deal, came to Ohio Valley Bank because he recognized the leaders here at the time as someone that would give him sound advice. And he wanted to create a scholarship. He was seeing that a lot of the 4-H scholarships and awards were maybe being awarded to the larger cities or in more northern parts of the state. And so he wanted to do something here locally and came to Ohio Valley Bank and asked for some advice. And what happened out of that conversation is that Ohio Valley Bank created this scholarship, and it was originally 4 scholarships that would be $500. What happened, though, was that our chairman of the board at the time, who was Jim Daly, he happened to think, you know, he was a product of the Ohio State University, and he said, You know, when I started school, I got all this money my first year, and then I really didn't get as much after. So he went back to the drawing board and actually made it a four-year scholarship at $500 a year. So we went many years with four scholarships for $500 each year, and it grew with the bank, and now currently we offer that scholarship in six different counties. And it's grown to $750 a year for $3,000 total dollars. So really significant program. It's, you know, every scholarship's kind of the same where you pay out money. This one's a little bit different in that it's a cash scholarship. So it doesn't have to be applied to tuition. The students can use it to help buy books. They can help pay for a car to get them to and from school. They can use that money any way that they wish in order to help them achieve that college dream. So it's a little bit special in that instance. But even more so, every May we have a banquet and invite back not only our current scholars to recognize them, but all the past scholars since 1986. And it's been kind of its own family. They have a Facebook group where they all talk together. But we're seeing past scholars helping future scholars now, and you know, maybe one that has gone on and is a successful doctor or nursing student or lawyer, reach down to those that are just starting school and receive a scholarship and helping them through their steps. So really a unique program, and I'm proud to be part of it.
I think you should be. How many recipients did you indicate have taken advantage of this?
Yeah. As of this year, it's 212 4-H members that we've been able to help send to college.
And I guess my first question is, must you be a 4-H participant?
Yes, it is a 4-H scholarship. 4-H involvement makes up 50% of the scoring in the application process. Additionally, we look at their academic achievements, non-4-H achievements, and need. And,
oh, okay.
And those applications are actually not reviewed by a High Valley Bank, but advisors, 4-H advisors and volunteers in the communities where they'll be awarded.
Oh, very good. Very good. I know that in addition to the scholarship, you encourage individuals throughout the banking family to get involved in other kinds of community. Just out of curiosity, you want to share a couple other notable things that your community bankers have been involved with?
Yeah, one of the kind of fun things, there's a group of employees, and the group kind of changes from month to month, but in Gallia County, Ohio, we created something called Buy Day Friday, and it's just a group of bankers that get together, and of course it changes out from month to month maybe, but every month someone volunteers to be coordinator on Buy Day Friday. It's usually the second Friday of the month, and they pick a local store and a local shop and say, let's meet in the lobby at noon, and we're headed here. So we'll get a group of bankers, whoever's available comes along. The bank buys lunch at that local restaurant, and then everyone goes shopping at the local store after. And it's kind of, we've seen some other banks and companies do this from time to time, usually call it a flood or some kind of a name like that. But it's just a great feeling to see the look on the faces of some of these local small mom-and-pop proprietor shops when they see this huge group of bankers walk into their store to buy. And it's something that's been very rewarding to see. That's one of the more fun things that we do. Really enjoy that. We also have a program called Surprise and Delight. So with Surprise and Delight, our frontline bankers are empowered to do something a little bit special for a customer. So perhaps maybe they'll hear that a good customer of theirs has a favorite pet. So they're empowered. They can go and get a small gift of dog treats for that customer just to make their day a little special. Maybe they have another customer that's having a little bit of a down day. Maybe they can surprise them with a local restaurant gift certificate to help brighten their day. So we're doing a lot of fun things here at Ohio Valley Bank because we want our customers to have a great day. And not only that, but we want our employees to have a rewarding experience. And we hope that's something that makes us a little bit different.
Well, Brenda, we've got to have you come back. I know that you're helping in one of our TV programs at the University of Rio Grande by bringing in some unique and interesting individuals. As a matter of fact, this coming Wednesday, we have a commercial lender that's coming on and going to be talking about some of the small business loans.
Shelly Booth, she's an excellent lender. I know she's going to be appearing on your show, and she's got a great background to draw from, because not only is she a small business lender, but she also owns her own small business. So she sees both sides of that coin. It'll be a good interview, I'm sure.
Well, Brenda, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure talking with you. And a couple months from now, we're going to have you back on. So thank you very much.
Thank you
for coming. I've had the opportunity of working with Ohio Valley Bank and many of their different lending individuals. You know, as a small business development counselor, I cannot in any way promote one bank over the other because there are some really good, fine financial institutions in Southern Ohio that are really committed to the kinds of communities that we strive to have. I know that Ohio Valley Bank has been very actively involved with University of Rio Grande and with the students. Our second guest is Hannah Scott. Hannah Scott is the program director with the Ohio State University South Center's Ohio Cooperative Development Center. Ohio Cooperative Development Center has been one of those leading programs at Ohio State University South Centers involved with helping individuals look at unique kinds of programs. And I know that they're very actively involved in the Food Hub Network. So I wanted to welcome Hannah. It's a pleasure having you on our program, in which we can sort of talk a little bit about some of the things that you're actively involved with.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us back, Patrick. We're really excited to be with you all today and to talk a little bit about a special program of the Ohio Cooperative Development Center, the Ohio and West Virginia Food Hub Network. I know that's a little bit of a mouthful.
Anytime you're dealing with food, I think it's a good mouthful.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So the Ohio and West Virginia Food Hub Network is actually a peer exchange network. It's a group of individuals that come together, convened by the Cooperative Development Center. We get them together at least once a quarter, and we've been doing that since the fall of 2014. And these folks that are coming together are, we call them Food Hub stakeholders, which is really just kind of a fancy word for they're managers of food hubs, or maybe they're on the board of directors for a food hub, or even a lot of them, or some of them, I should say, are folks that are interested in developing a food hub. So they're community members that are working on a food hub project that is pre-operational. We pull those folks together along with a number of technical assistance providers. So folks like myself or folks from a small business development center, we have just a wide variety of technical assistance providers that participate, all the way from OSU Extension to West Virginia University Extension and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Great technical assistance providers that really are there to provide resources and programming to those participants, to stakeholders. And when we get together, we do a couple of things. First and foremost, we put together educational programming to help these businesses develop And food hubs are kind of a unique business that I think we'll talk a little bit about. But we put together programs that are really focused on the barriers that these kinds of businesses might face and kind of helping them address those barriers. And then really part of it also is focused on a space for these folks to learn from one another. So
I think that's so important. You know, Hannah, my wife this year planted a small little garden in which we must have close to 6 plants.
Oh, wow.
Of hundreds of thousands of tomatoes.
I hope you like tomatoes.
Well, is the food hub for persons like ourselves where we have little gardens?
I would say there are other programs for persons like yourself, but maybe not the Food Hub Network. The Food Hub Network is more for folks that are involved in a business that's aggregating and distributing very large quantities of food.
Maybe
if you have hundreds of thousands of tomatoes, you could be involved. But really we're focused on those folks that are aggregating. Many of them are aggregating from 6 and 7 farms, maybe even more than that. So, and they're really focused on selling into markets that are large. So they're selling into institutional markets or even large retailers.
Now, is it just we have Ohio Proud, in which businesses that manufacture some kind of food or drink or something of that nature can sell to Ohioans under the Ohio Proud. Does this follow the format, or are you looking at even a larger area?
Well, we're looking at even a larger area, and Ohio Proud is a great resource for these people because, in part, a food hub is it's an aggregation and distribution business for food. Most of the time, the ones that we work with are produce-oriented, so they're selling fruits and vegetables mostly. But Ohio Proud's a great resource for them because that is a branding program that lets folks know that they're sourcing produce from Ohio.
Okay.
And many food hubs, the term food hub is kind of a little bit different because it's not only an aggregation and distribution business, but it's one that Source identifies their products. So they're very much focused on local and regional products.
I see.
So, but we're also, as you might have noticed in that mouthful of a name, we cover a region. So we are in both Ohio and West Virginia. The Cooperative Development Center works across both of those places. And so the interest really in food hubs is nationwide, and we have seen a lot of it in both states, and so we pull folks together from both of those places. So it's more of a regional approach.
You know, that's one of the things that I noticed with Ohio State University are our cell centers. Not only are we connected into the agricultural programs through the OARDC, we're also connected with the extension programs, and we are not specific just to Ohio.
Right. And so I think that if you look at the mission of The Ohio State University and even trickle that on down to The Ohio State University South Center, our mission is to improve lives of Ohioans and the citizens of this country and even the globe. And kind of expand those borders a little bit and work across.
You know, it is, if you look on the map, we are very close to West Virginia and Kentucky. And consequently, we have shared a number of different informational resources with Kentucky and West Virginia because no one in itself is just the place for information. As a matter of fact, when we got involved with our shrimp, it was a working with University of Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm very pleased that we are we have a variety of different resources, not just ourselves, but we're working together.
Absolutely. Information flow doesn't stop at borders. So.
That is true. And I know that USDA, United States Department of Agriculture, has been a very active partner with many things that you do and many things that our associates do.
Absolutely. So As I mentioned, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, we have various folks from that department that participate in this Food Hub network. We've also had them present on the many, many resources that are available for Food Hubs through their department. But we always have more work to do, and so we're partnering with them on future education for Food Hubs. And so we have a couple of events coming up. One of those is a financing resources for growers webinar. And so that will be.
I think that's very important.
Absolutely, because Food Hubs are dependent. They're a business, but they're a business that's dependent on growers.
Yes.
So many times, actually, they're cooperatives of growers.
Yes.
And so developing those individual farm businesses is many times just as important as developing the Food Hub business. And so that webinar is going to focus on the loan resources that the U.S. Department of Agriculture Farm Service Agency has available for farmers. And we're going to go kind of in-depth to look at those programs. We'll have a representative from USDA Farm Service Agency here in Ohio talking in detail about those programs.
Good.
And so that webinar is meant for both the stakeholders that I mentioned in Food Hubs, the directors and managers and developers, but also their growers, also the growers that are selling into those Food Hubs to learn more about that. So that's on October 13th.
Okay. And so we would like to have you come back as soon as possible. Maybe we can with our studio, get some cameras out and capture some of the events that are going on.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. And we might use your studio for that webinar itself.
Great.
So
very good.
Appreciate that you have it here available.
One other thing. I know that there are a number of researchers here and educators that are involved with different vegetables, different fruits, different bioenergy, different kinds of things. They're involved with your program also.
Oh, absolutely. And so I couldn't do this program, the Food Hub Network, without the help of our associates here at the South Center, especially Brad Burgerford, the horticulture specialist, and Christy Welch, our direct agricultural marketing specialist. They're both extremely involved in this network. They present their resources and their expertise, but they also lend a lot of support. And then also this network is actually, we've recently put together a participant leadership team.
Oh.
So those participants from the network are actually involved with myself and Kimberly, the OCDC program assistant, to put these sessions together. So they help us identify what's useful and how we can put those programs on. And we actually have some extension folks, Brad Burgerford and Brian Raisin, on that leadership team that are extremely helpful as well. So it definitely takes a team to do this.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. And with the territory that you cover, you obviously use some of the new social media formats. For instance, if I wanted to find out more information, what's the easiest way I could go to see the information you have?
Well, we actually have a web page completely dedicated to this network on our website.
Okay.
So our website is southcenters.osu.edu.
So that's southcenters.
Osu.edu.
Okay.
And then there is a page on there that's dedicated to business.
Okay.
Underneath that, we have our cooperatives page, and then an Ohio and West Virginia Food Hub Network page.
Very good. Mm-hmm. And also, if you wanted to do a search on Ohio Cooperative Development Center,
you should pretty easily be able to.
Okay. Well, I Hannah, I want to thank you very much for coming on. Here at the South Centers, every day it seems, and I've been here for many moons.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a wealth of really good people, a lot of good information.
Absolutely.
And we're here for the taking. So I want to thank you very much. We've got to get you back on as a moderator and as a participant because this information is extremely important.
Well, we thank you for having us and giving us the opportunity to share this information. We're looking forward to building the network.
Well, good. I'm Patrick Dangle. It's been a pleasure to be the moderator today. In coming months, we have a variety of different guests that I think you as a listening audience will be very pleased. Again, I'm Patrick Dangle.
I'm Hannah Scott.
Thank you for listening.